What's going on, Real Ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Joss the Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Put up Monday, motherfucker. Coming in aggressive. Alive. Gonna thrive. Gonna jive. I am the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. My voice is shot. Did a lot of stand-up comedy this past weekend and a lot of yelling at cab drivers. So, you know, it's a perfect storm, really, when, you know, I'm doing stand-up comedy.
Yelling at cab drivers is Lewis's opener and closer.
Yes, it really is. That is the international superstar, Zach Amico.
Hello.
What's up, my nigga?
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Very excited to have both of our guests on the show today. These motherfuckers. First of all, it's been a while since I've had this guy on. You guys know him from The Bonfire, YKWD, Legion of Skanks. He's all over the place. His name's Dan Soder. What's up?
Hi.
Put up, Dan Soder.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Dan.
I want to see how far I can rattle
out. Can we just all do it's like a weird, creepy homosexual voice where it's like, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
That used to be the tranny voice.
Yeah, that is, I guess, that would be a tranny voice.
Yeah.
There was, remember the movie Threesome?
No.
I don't believe so.
Shannon Pope scene from Threesome. There's a movie Threesome. I'm not going to introduce Mike Feeney.
Sure.
There's a movie Threesome. Mike Feeney's here, guys. Come on.
All right. Wow.
A regular on the show now. Please, Mike.
Yeah. Why are you mad? I didn't do it. I haven't even got to say anything yet.
I saw your face.
Yeah.
He looks like I look like the older brother that's ran into an opiate problem, and he's the younger brother that has to tell my parents.
Yeah.
He's like, Dan's not doing well.
You really think that you could be in his family with that fucking flattened out face?
Yeah. His young senator face really is.
Feeney's gorgeous. Now, here's the funny part.
Feeney
right?
does look like he went to every Ivy League college possible on the way up.
Yeah.
He also looks I did like undergrad he's... at Yale. I did my master's at Harvard.
He also looks like
Feeney looks
that...
like somebody just turned him into a real boy.
Yeah.
Feeney... I don't have strings.
Feeney also looks like the guy that rats out the kids that are date raping at parties.
Yeah.
You're not even the cool kid in the frat.
What else do you guys like about me?
These are not good.
I like Lewis. That's a bad thing.
These
girls. Yeah, these girls are getting raped, and Lewis is like, "What a party pooper!"
Rat.
Snitches get stitches, Feeney.
I guess.
Yes, very happy to have you here, Mike Feeney. No, but there was that movie. God put it on Threesome. It was about it was two guys and a girl that were roommates in college. And then the one dude was like in the closet gay and secretly in love with him. I think it was Stephen Baldwin was the one guy. Here, God, pull it up on the big screen, Shannon. All right, no problem. See, this is why Shannon, she at first, when we're just pressing play and getting coffee, it seems like Shannon's perfect. But as soon as you throw a little fucking, a little curve into the
mix. As soon as you throw a completely obscure movie.
Stephen Baldwin classic Threesome.
Have a scene up instantly.
How dare you not have the fucking
No. I'm a pro, dude. I gave her all that time. You hear all like the setup I did while I gave her that time?
Shannon, what was on USA Up All Night at 3 a.m. at 2 in the morning?
Go ahead.
November 2nd, 1994.
What followed silk stockings for 17 years?
Remember TriStar.
We're watching like the actual intro.
Do they get bought out?
Can we just watch the whole movie and do a Mystery Science Theater Threesome?
You could call my junior year in college an experiment in living.
Sure. 1, 2, 3.
Having one roommate was okay, but having two roommates was totally unexpected.
Lara, if you don't stop eating my yogurt, I'm gonna kill you.
You make murder sound so sexual.
Sex, it's like pizza. Even if it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Oh, this guy's my fucking idol.
Sex is like pizza. If it's late, I'm not gonna pay for it.
Is it fiberglass or steel?
Sex is like pizza. If it's too hot, you can burn your tongue.
This girl, she is a live wire of sexual energy.
This is the prequel for The Band Played On.
Are you just looking at my butt? He is what he is.
I've got a blood disease, Slaughter Flip Boil. I've got it in a bathhouse. Doctor,
I need to go on a diet.
This bitch is crazy, too.
You know it's 90s when you have to cut off plaid?
All right, we get it. They end up all fucking, and then the gay dude...
Which one was gay? The guy?
So it's like Chasing Amy, but not funny?
Oh, yeah. They're like, let's take all the fun out of Chasing Amy. What came first, Chasing Amy or this?
I don't know. What do you think?
This looks a little earlier.
Yeah, it does.
I think this is a little bit earlier. But I used to jerk off to this, not to the gay guy.
Okay. Yeah, you did.
All right,
yeah.
Fine to the gay guy.
You go, what if my best friend was gay? Then I'd have everything. Have my cake and suck on it, too.
Yeah, but there's a scene where they're all in a bed and they're having a threesome. The three main characters.
So she's Laura Flynn Boyle. Yeah,
Laura
all right.
Boyle
get it.
Some cock.
She's like, you guys going to double down on this?
I don't, I don't know if they double pen. But they're like in the position to double pen. Like there's like the one guy's in between her legs, the other guy's from behind, and the gay dude like reaches around and like puts his hand on the other dude's butt, and they fall asleep that way. It's creepy.
Who falls asleep lining up for a DP?
Yeah.
All right, just steady. Hold on. Yeah. The cartoon snoring.
There was a gay guy in that movie though. He kind of talked like that though. That was his thing. He's like, she tried to set him up.
That's when Arsenio Hall, remember when he dressed up? He's like, I want to tear you apart and your little friend too.
That was in Coming to America. Yeah. So great. You could really just make fun of trannies back in the day.
Yeah. Dude,
yeah, but then you watch like Trading Places, you can make fun of everybody.
Yeah.
The gays were silly. Like Eddie Murphy's first 5 minutes of Delirious right now would
it's,
be like.
It's the only bits on that special that don't actually hold up. Yeah. Everything else is incredible.
You want to pull Eddie aside and be like, you want a fucking dude, right?
Well,
like
after you watch those first, he fight. Got caught fucking a tranny.
He's giving her a ride.
Yeah.
Zach's a hardcore defender.
Yeah.
He was giving her a ride in the car, and Hugh Grant loved Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Eddie Murphy, like, he's notoriously, like, if you even see him in interviews now, he's like not putting on the cool guy act that he used to put on when he was younger. He's just a homosexual. Look up like a recent Eddie Murphy interview.
Wait,
like,
what?
Eddie Murphy 2016 interview.
You're saying he's just.
Watch the way that he talks. Watch the way that he talks.
Shannon, please bring up Men on Film. That would be the greatest. The old In Living Color thing. If you just brought up, like, that's not. Okay, I got it.
With Antoine and.
Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah,
Men on
great.
Football, Let's Men on
Just
film.
Great. Here, is this a 2016 interview guy? This is him on Ellen.
Brand new little child I met backstage. Oh.
Yeah.
She is so pretty. She's 4 months old.
It was
four
icky to make
Izzy.
Her. I didn't like making her.
And she's, what number is this for you? You have a lot of kids.
That's number 9 for me.
Jesus.
Number 9.
Wow. What a fag.
Laugh track came perfectly with that, too.
Yeah, that sounded like they were, the LA audience was like, oh, it's a good F-bomb. I don't like the word, but I respect it when it's dropped properly. Yeah.
Let's get some plugs, Shannon. Let's do this. Let's get some plugs out of the way. Dan Soda, what's up? What do you got to plug, my friend?
Vancouver, Canada. Moon Tower, Calgary. DanSoda.com. Brand new. New DanSoda.com.
Let me judge it.
It's fucking up there, dog.
I'm going to judge it right now.
I finally have a real website. Thanks, Michael.
Shannon, pull up the website for the people watching as well. DanSoda.com. Yeah, Dan, you're the fucking man, dude.
You're
so,
the man,
you're
Lewis.
So fucking funny, Dan.
I love you, buddy. I had
love
to move
you too,
our
man.
Storyboard from our show into my guest room and it bummed me out.
Yeah. Not a bad website. I like it.
My guest room, I mean closet. It used to be my bedroom.
Mike Feeney, what do you got, buddy?
MikeFeeneyComedy.com. Check out Irish Goodbye Podcast. We're actually doing a live recording at New York Comedy Club on 420 at 10:30 with the funny Shuli from Stern and I guess we're doing a show together this weekend on the 8th. And then on the 14th, back to New York Comedy Club for On the Offensive. It'll be great. And then Twitter, at I am Mike Feeney.
Oh, thanks, Lou.
Zachy Becky.
April 8th, I'm in Poughkeepsie, Laugh It Up Mahoney's.
Yeah!
And on the 25th, opening night of the Meadowlands Comedy Festival, Secaucus, New Jersey.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, you are.
I'll be in Poughkeepsie in May. It's a fun place. You been up there?
Yeah, I did it with Lewis.
They're fucking great dudes.
Laugh it the fuck up, bro. This Saturday night, as Feeney was just saying, April 8th, it's a wrestling benefit. I've done it with Dan Soder before. It's Cutstown Wrestling Benefit. Those kids are fucking dope. Great comedy fans, huge MMA fans as well. So it's going to be me and Dave Smith. We're co-headlining. We're bringing Mike Feeney and Justin Silver along. If you guys want to get tickets, they have a very limited amount of seats available for people that are not a part of the school. So you can email Gill, G-I-L-L, at cutstown.edu, K-U-T-Z-T-O-W-N.edu. Tickets, it sounds pricey. It's $50, but it includes drinks and dinner. So that's a fucking deal right there.
Great.
That's a deal right there. Also, going to be at Moon Tower with my boy Dan Soder.
Yeah!
April 20th or 22nd. Moon Tower, I think it's moontower.com or org or some shit like that, right? And I got some stand-up shows. I'm doing Comedy 101, Legion of Skanks up there. 24th, I will be in Houston with the Death Squad crew, doing a Death Squad show live. And then...
Is there a UFC there?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just, they're all down there from Moon Tower, awesome. So they did another show a few hours away.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Also, Skankfest tickets, motherfuckers, officially on sale. If you're listening live or if you're listening to this on Friday, they might be sold out by Friday, motherfucker. Here's the deal, man. I'm not messing around here. I hate to be all fucking promotionally and pluggy, but this is the truth, okay? We're not fucking around. Right now, we have announced like an insane lineup. The lineup right now has already exceeded last year's lineup. And there are two guys that are booked on it that are confirmed that I just can't announce yet. That are crazy. That are bigger than anybody else on the show. So if you are listening to this right now, get your fucking tickets. If you know what's up, it's a complete comedy party / festival the entire weekend of June 24th, 25th. I'm talking about nonstop craziness, guys. Trust me, if you've never been to Skankfest, last year was one of the most fun times I've ever had in my entire life. You were going to have, if you're a comedy fan, it is by far, there's nothing else like it, by far the best comedy festival in the world. You were going to fucking have an insane time. Some of the guys we just announced this morning in the press release that went out, Andrew Schultz, Annie Letterman, Burt Kreischer, Big J, Bonnie McFarlane, Chris Gethard, Dan Soder, Duncan Trussell's going to be there. Josh Adam Myers doing his own version of goddamn comedy jam. He's doing goddamn karaoke jam. Nate Bargatze, Michelle Wolf, Mark Norman, Kurt Metzger, Keith Robinson,
hologram Greg Giraldo,
Ron Bennington.
It's going deep. Puppet Patrice. Yes, they're doing all the greats, but it's different things.
We dug up Patrice and we put a spell on him, like Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah. But a Haitian kind of spell. Will, yes. Will gave him a Haitian
witch
spell.
Doctors, yeah.
Much spookier.
Zach's doing the naked roast.
It's Patrice
roast
with a top hat and a skeleton painted on it.
Yeah.
Zach's doing the naked roast. We got Ronnie Bennington, Robert Kelly, Rich Voss, the Reformed Whores, Nick Mullen, Cumtown Podcast Live, YKWD Podcast Live. These are just some of the names. These are just some of them, guys. Over 80 comics.
Get inundated. Comics. Can that be your phrase? Get inundated?
Get inundated with comic cum.
Oh, get
it's
filled
happening.
Up.
Get filled up. Plug in, fuel up. With cum, bitch.
Yeah.
Get tickets at creeklic.com or skankfestnyc.com. It will sell out. So that's all I got to plug. And oh, yeah, the Believe You Me podcast. Guest Digital Network, me and Bisping. Later on today, we got a brand new episode coming out. So, all right, boys. Here's the deal, man. WrestleMania happened last night. You know what, Shannon? Let's get a little fucking pumped up.
Okay. Are you ready for the Survivor Series?
One. Who will survive?
Oh, you don't think I don't know this one?
It's 93, it's time for WrestleMania, mania.
Was this when you met Shawn Michaels? Because it's 93.
No, it wasn't 93. I met Shawn Michaels in...
You met him at 10, right?
Yeah, right after WrestleMania.
That was 93.
Keep that music on, Shannon. Unless you
forget. Right,
Shannon, you cut that music. We're looping this for the rest of the show, so just deal with it. Because Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to show you how to get beat up.
That's great.
This season, Tatanka.
Tatanka was
he
good,
made
dude.
The album.
Tatanka was good,
Tatanka
dude.
Was a guy that I was one of the only Tatanka fans out there.
I was a Tatanka fan. I loved him with the IC.
Let me, I got hardcore on Tatanka.
Okay.
Literally in between the pay-per-view that he went bad, right? He went bad.
Yeah.
He sold out to the $1 Million Man. right? Which is just ridiculous. You can't have an American Indian sell out to a rich white guy. It's just, it's uncomfortable. Even at that time, even at like eight, I was like, that's not right.
He's like, take these blankets. Virgil, give him the blankets.
I'm going to have you fight my slave. Go ahead, slave and Indian, fight each other.
Yeah, that you want to talk about? Who, you can make fun of everybody. That was early '90s wrestling too.
It was great. Yeah.
The most fucked up thing about Virgil. Why was his name Virgil?
Yeah.
No. Why?
Oh, I don't know.
That's Dusty Rhodes' real name.
Oh.
What was his name in WCW?
What?
Vincent.
Oh.
Literally, they to fuck with each other. They went. Yeah, we're gonna name our black guy after you.
And he goes, my name. What's his real name?
I don't know.
Yeah, but then he had that moment where he's like, your name is Virgil. And he's like, no, my name is...
name is Moon Cricket.
All right. Well, we can't use that.
Why would your parents name you Moon Cricket? That sounds really counterproductive.
We're destined to fight.
No, Tatanka. I was the guy that got into Tatanka. Nobody was into Tatanka. I mean, I went to a live event, like a house show, borrowed my mom's lipstick, drew red fucking lines on my face, bought the Tatanka, the foam tomahawk. Green Tatanka t-shirt. I'm like, real deal.
That's awesome.
Nobody else was into him.
You kind of look Native American.
I did. I was like, dude, this is my thing. He's speaking to me now. Yeah. Right? And then the next pay-per-view, I believe it was SummerSlam. It was. This cock fucking sucker sells out. And I remember, it was horrible. I threw my Tatanka shirt in the garbage because I was still a child that time. I was still a little boy at that time. What year did Tatanka go bad? It's like 2003. It was 20.
Yeah.
I don't remember when he went bad.
What year did...
But I think that's hilarious that was a heartbreaking episode. Like,
yeah, why wouldn't you just still root for him? If you like the guy, you like
because
the guy.
Because I wasn't old enough to get it yet. Okay. I started getting it when The Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan is when I started to get it. And that was shortly after that. My sister was a couple years older than me. My sister, she got it. Like, my sister was into the bad guys early.
When he sold out to the Million Dollar Man, she was like, they're going to take his land anyway. It's just smart to pair up with them. Now he's on the side of the resources.
All right, you can turn it off now, Shannon. What is Tatanka doing now? Is he alive, Shannon? He's an alcoholic.
There would have been great.
He has 0.001% in a stake in a casino.
If they would have done a storyline where it would have led up to DiBiase and Tatanka and called the event Manifest Destiny. That's a good wrestling angle.
That's good.
They could bring that back.
That's it. That was my, I loved it. And here's the truth. WrestleMania happened last night, and I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Nobody cares.
Yeah, two people at this table cared. Two people watched the entire thing.
Did you watch it live?
Fuck yeah.
You took off.
Yeah.
I tweeted that. So this is why nobody respects our industry. We're the only industry that will take off for WrestleMania. Nobody else.
Yeah, but I won't take off for friends' birthdays or weddings.
It's psychotic.
I guarantee you the backs of lots of restaurants were empty last night. Mexicans love wrestling.
Yeah.
No, but they work. They have a...
So they were watching it back there.
Yeah, maybe they were watching it back
Why
there.
Why is it 40 minutes for my duck l'orange? And they're like, oh my God! My God!
Super! Somebody stop the damn...
I mean, here's the deal, right? Like, I'm not hating, but let's just get real. Like,
you are hating.
No, I'm not hating.
Hating pretty hard.
I'm not hating. Adults that like wrestling...
What's up?
It's a little weird.
Yeah, cool.
It's a little weird.
Adults who like reality television are weird.
Yeah.
Cool.
I agree.
That's most of America.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the deal, right? Like, it's a little weirder to like wrestling.
Sure.
You know, because here's the thing.
Reality television is
designed and structured to be palpable for everybody to like.
Can I tell you the difference? Wrestling fans are willing to admit that it's weird.
Wrestling is real.
And wrestling, those are real fights.
Yeah.
Those men have conflicts and signed contracts. Some are not sanctioned bouts. But there is, wrestling fans are in on it. And that's why wrestling fans, when they talk about it, there is like this undertone of like, we know what the fuck's happening. We know it's all written. It's all carnival shit.
No shit. Everyone knows that. But then there's also that thing where wrestling fans go, it's like, yeah, we know. But, it's fine. Like, it's still cool.
Fun. Just look at it. What it is. It's a high impact stunt show with a continuous narrative.
It's soap opera.
I see no difference between that or Game of Thrones or anything. It's just that's the show I like.
Yeah. Sort of.
If I could dress it up. If you like Game of Thrones, I could dress it up like you're a fucking geek.
Nope.
Yeah, you can. You're like
best
you're
show
like
on television.
Do you
Stand
like
by
dragons it. And sorcery yeah. and little spells?
No, I don't.
Do you wear your little wizard
hold on.
Hat when you watch it?
I don't like dragons and sorcery and spells. I like Game of Thrones. So here's the deal. Can I explain to you the difference?
Comes from
point of nerdom. Can I explain the difference? Okay. It
comes from the exact same point of nerdom.
I'm winning this debate right now, so beat me in the debate. Okay.
Right, let's go. What's up?
I agree. Yes, it is a narrative. It is a high impact stunt show. My problem with it is they're executing that aspect of it very poorly. So the acting angle, there's a few guys that are really good. But when you see a bad movie, remember when you saw Mike Tyson in, what movie was in? The Hangover, right? Remember how bad he was?
Yeah.
Or Randy Couture in The Expendables?
Wow.
Remember how bad Randy was? Where it literally takes you out of the movie. It takes you out of, like, you're like, oh, I'm watching a movie again.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of what wrestling is. It's constantly reminding you that it's shitty acting, constantly reminding you that it's not real. The constant reminder makes me not able to, like, yes, I know that dragons aren't real, but part of the appeal of that now in this day and age is how they fucking make these incredible dragons and it looks so beautiful and it's a piece of art. Wrestling, I'm not looking at it as a piece of art, really.
But you suspend
your disbelief.
Yeah, your disbelief. You suspend that going in knowing Game of Thrones. You're like, I know dragons aren't real, but this is a story. I'm going to listen to the story of dragons. And here's the reason why they suck at acting, because you got to get a guy that's able to take a fucking body slam through a table, who's able to stay in shape, work every night, get out there, and fucking address a whole, I mean, public speaking.
Yeah.
You have to do a whole public speaking thing. Roman Reigns stinks on the mic. He stinks, but he's a great in-ring worker, as they would say, so he fucking can sell the match in the ring and actually get people involved. So there's a lot more aspects to it than just acting, and you're just like, it's...
And the ones who can act go become fucking movie stars like The Rock and John Cena.
They barely put
on the Cena theme music. Is that not the best theme music of anybody's ever?
Dude, we were talking about that last night. I don't like him, but it hits.
It's good.
But you hit it.
Put it on the big screen, too, because there's the one video...
When it starts rattling,
listen.
Turn it up right here. The
Yappadoo.
I'll tell you this. And one of my favorite things about going to wrestling as an adult,
he's screaming John Cena sucks,
and watching little kids not get it.
Oh,
and I watched this little boy get so frustrated with me at SummerSlam. Because I kept going, AJ Styles. And he was like, John Cena. Like, he was like, why is this big man not like Cena? And I got it. Because when I was a kid and I loved Hulk, and everyone's cheering for fucking Andre or cheering for the heel. Yeah. Like, the adults were, and you're like, being an adult, you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But you don't get it. It's like, yeah.
These kids, they can't wrap their mind around it. It's like, without evil, there is no good. You know? Come on, kids.
Yeah.
Dumb fucking kids. Just watching little kids riot, cry at pro wrestling events is hilarious.
John Cena sucks. Yeah. When you're chanting that, they're so like, fun.
Did you ever think you were on it? Did you ever want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, like when you I were still do. That? Me and Zach are. I mean,
legitimately have thought about it.
50-50 want to start a tag team called Death Erection.
Death Erection?
Death Erection.
But what if you just called it Death Erection?
Death Erection is pretty decent too. I like Death Erection though.
Death Erection is more, but that. Death Erection, I think you get the erection part in, and
it's
sounds
also resurrection.
More legit. Yeah, but then you don't know which way it goes. Is it resurrection?
Who knows? And it's
or
TV
we could
friendly.
Spell it as Death Erection, as in like it's resurrection, but we know what the fuck we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the fun. That's the nod. See, you're a wrestling fan again.
We can spell
Zach
it.
And
oh,
I win.
Okay, I got it. We'll be in. Your name could be Dicks and Asses, but it's Dixon and then Assez. Yeah. Dicks and asses.
Asses. You throw in Z's.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of Z's. And then we can get a fucking a NyQuil sponsorship, too.
Ooh.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, yeah. Hi, we're Death Erection. You just keep saying Death Erection. They're like, it's Death Erection. Lewis, can you please say it right? We are Death Erection. We're here to come grief all over you.
So yeah, here's and I feel like all the fans that like pro wrestling
Death Erection, you'll be limp by morning.
I feel like all the fans that like pro wrestling are gonna like give me shit because I'm shitting on it, and it's not that I'm shitting on it. I can appreciate it for the member barrier aspect, so I can go and watch if you guys would just admit that like you don't actually like it, that you just kind of remind
but that's
you,
a lot.
Kind of reminds
like
you
it.
Of your childhood, and it brings you back to a time.
I'd like to note that Lewis is saying a thing is not for adults. By using a concept from a cartoon he likes.
Yeah, he's like, you know, when the fictional Blueberry who remembers things, when he says the wall,
are you talking about a cartoon, one of the smartest cartoons of our time that was created for adults?
My favorite show.
Yeah, Zach's wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
It's a cartoon. They're for kids, technically.
You can't. No, they're not. That cartoon is not for kids. It's for adults. That's why he's wrong. If I was citing Paw Patrol right now,
And I was like, listen, guys, Paw Patrol is on a roll. Then I'd understand Zach coming at me.
Well,
and saying,
in their defense, Paw Patrol did win a Peabody this year.
And so. They are on a roll. The fucking dogs, they're always on a roll.
But you're wrong. It's not just for the member. The member berry aspect makes it better, and it makes cool things happen. Like when the Hardy Boys come back, that's a fun member berry. Let's hope this is cool. But you can like modern wrestlers like Seth Rollins and AJ Styles.
Yeah,
and Finn Balor and
guys. Yeah, and I definitely, and especially like the indie stuff is just for adults.
Right?
Yeah,
see, part of my wrestling angle, like when I'm a wrestler, because I think we're going to do it eventually. One day when the shit hits a fan.
Can I get a chair? Same way, can I give you a chair shot?
Yes. The same way that wrestlers, like I just saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to be doing a comedy show soon. Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, New Jack is doing stand-up now. The same way wrestlers will go out and do stand-up. After I retire from comedy and I'm like, I'm too fucking broken down to do stand-up anymore, I'm going to get into pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the thing. I'm going to start working the indie circuit. Have all my stories from comedy, and they just beat the shit out of me in the middle of the ring.
Vic tried talking me into that. He was like, you guys should do that. You should get a whole league going.
But then he got out of breath talking.
Yeah, but then and then he gained more breath, and then he said he finished it with saying, we should do a whole league.
You, Vic. Love you.
I was the biggest wrestling fan my whole life, like growing up. And then it was like when the storylines are what got old to me. Like once like The Undertaker and Kane versed each other for like the 1,000th time, I was like, I'm really. And then there was like this weird side story where like Kane was like outside like Stephanie McMahon's house, like in the bushes, like creeping on her. Oh, you remember that whole thing?
They call that a big J in the industry.
What you do is you just kind of like the suspension of disbelief is sometimes it sucks. The Randy Orton burning down the house thing, I was like, this sucks.
Well, here's the thing, right?
Just fast forward.
The Undertaker. Yeah. I watched WrestleMania.
God, I love
I believe it was 2 years ago I watched WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And the Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar.
Dude, you watched WrestleMania 30 with me 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Was that when The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Was that when The Undertaker retired and it was a big thing and I watched grown fucking men cry? Yes, he did.
No, he just lost.
He retired.
No, he didn't.
He lost for the first time ever.
It was just him losing.
Oh, even gayer that grown men cried.
Who cried?
You know what I love about this story right now? How Lewis is painting it? Like he's in the back in a leather jacket with his arms crossed. Like, look at all these pussies.
Yeah.
Lewis was going ape shit watching WrestleMania 30 with me. I was watching it next to him. He's jumping up and down on my shoulder like, this is fucking crazy. And he was so into WrestleMania.
The Rock has transcended the sport.
The Rock was it. You remember WrestleMania
30? The Rock could do a guest appearance on fucking Days of Our Lives and I would be losing my shit. It would be incredible.
You know, that would be pretty awesome. Can I just really, though?
The Rock is dating Billy. It's crazy. Your son was The Rock the whole time.
You were into WrestleMania 30. You watched it with me.
The member berry aspect. And, like, I
don't know. Into the Daniel Bryan Triple
H match.
I hate
baseball, right? But I can wrap my mind around at least why adults like baseball much more than pro wrestling. But I could go to a baseball game and have a fun time, hanging out with my friends, drinking, eating hot dogs. Why not, right, dude? You know?
The one thing I will say to Lewis's point, though, is like I hadn't watched wrestling since like whatever that was, like the early 2000s, and I did just buy WWE because, like the 2K17, because of like they have all the old wrestlers in there, and it is so much fun and enjoyable, but it's actually like slowly introducing me to all like the current characters now. So now I'm like, I know like theme songs and everything. And then I really wanted, yesterday was the first WrestleMania in a long time I really like wanted to watch because it brings it back in. I remember why I liked it to begin with.
I was at the stand last night doing a comedy show and it was on. They turned it on. Mm-hmm. I didn't give a fuck. Cool. Just didn't really give a fuck. You know?
You're allowed to not like it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean people
that's
who do
the whole
it
thing with like, I feel like choices? Our culture right now.
Yeah.
It's like if you have to love it or hate it. You can't just be like, that's just not for me.
Yeah.
It's just really not for me. I just pass on it.
I kind of feel like I'm very passive with it. I'm judging other people for loving it. That's really the point I'm making.
But that's the whole thing.
Let me also make this very clear. I'm really not even shitting on wrestling. I want to make this really clear because it sounds like I am. If you're a pro wrestler or you work for the WWE.
Please clothesline Lewis.
I'm not shitting on your product. I think good for you, man. Have fun. More power. You can hire some better actors. Okay, who knows? But what I'm doing is I'm shitting on adult men who enjoy it like they're little kids.
Okay.
You know, you guys. Yeah.
But what about people that at the end of like the series finale of a show when someone gets killed and then you like cry? Is that because they're actors? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I can see like when you talked about Undertaker losing. The equivalent of that on a show is if you were watching a show every week for 20 years. Like if Walking Dead was on for 20 years, it was your favorite show, and they killed Rick. That's the Undertaker losing at WrestleMania.
And you were like, I know he's always like on the cusp of dying.
But that's not true.
Tell him.
Let me tell you why, okay? I think this is a good debate, so maybe I'm just being an asshole here. But it's not, because the Undertaker, if the Undertaker would have retired or they would have killed him off, like I had watched them do against Yokozuna when I was a child, they
remember
killed
that casket
him.
Match?
Yeah, they killed a man. It was insane.
Yeah, he was also...
Yeah, he's dead. Guys, hey, kids, just so you know, your favorite wrestler, dead. You know what? I was 8. Guess what I didn't do? I didn't cry. And I really thought he was dead, Zach.
Because you'd already experienced multiple deaths.
Yeah, you were desensitized already at 8.
You were smoking a Marlboro.
You know who else probably wouldn't have cried at the Undertaker dying? A Sudanese child soldier. He would probably be like, nah, I get it.
The children that dress like Lewis right now?
Yeah.
I want to be a real-ass soldier. I got a cool-ass legion. Skankheads!
Yeah.
They're doing that. When they come to drop off the grain, they're like, Skankheads!
Well, that was a cool part last night. Pull up the picture of the guy doing skank hands in the front row at WrestleMania last night.
See, there's one fucking Gomite that likes wrestling.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He gets a pass because he went and
because they promoted me.
He used his opportunity to promote my brand, and I love that. That's fucking dope. That guy can do whatever he wants to do. That guy can fuck my sister. I don't give a shit.
Is it true that Gronkowski's is his brother that other the wrestler?
No, Mojo.
No, they're just friends.
They're just friends.
I said that like it was like he was bringing up court papers. Yeah. I took some of my coffee. Like, oh god, no.
They're associates.
They're friends. They're merely coworkers.
Yeah, this guy. I got a bunch of. I start getting messages at like 5 p.m. Like screen grabs.
That's the crazy. Like, that's the one thing about a wrestling fan that I'll be like, WrestleMania is a little much. It went from 5 to midnight.
It's crazy.
Well, I was watching the pre WrestleMania thing on TBS or whatever it was on, where it was. I don't think that it sounded. It looked packed in there, but the arena didn't sound very like when Gronkowski came out and like did
well,
the test.
People were still sitting and coming in. That was like the pre-show. WrestleMania started at 7.
Right, yeah.
And then it like built.
Well, that's when I started getting pictures and screen grabs for this guy in a Legion of Skank shirt.
There he is.
Sitting cage side. This is the guy right here.
Good seats.
Third row. He threw up skank hands.
I don't know.
I wonder how long he was holding them up.
I'll tell you what happened. Because he's in the front row with the shirt. So I start getting pictures and stuff and being like, oh, shit. So he must have just been monitoring it and seeing that he's getting attention. So then he started getting pumped. You know what I'm saying? So then he starts throwing up skank hands like during every match, every time the cameras, because you see him looking up at the camera.
Yeah.
I want to pull up this guy's name.
What if you just got it ramped up that you're like, jump the barrier, go after Orton.
Yeah.
Be the real ass dude. He gets RKO'd out of you know where.
A week ago, I said to the fans, I was like, hey, go. I was like, I'm going to give a free hoodie to the top 3 fans that promote Legion of Skanks in like the best way. So this guy, I mean, he's getting a hoodie, obviously.
He should get a whole. He should get everything.
This guy's
he should get all 3 prizes.
Fuck off. Listen, this guy's getting 2 free Skankfest tickets, fucking VIP. I'm going to hook him up with a hotel room. I'm going to fucking hook him up with an entire Legion of Skanks fucking package, all the fucking merch we got. I'm going to hook him up with literally anything. This guy's the fucking man.
I'm going to give him James.
Yeah, that's great.
I am.
You get to be James's dad.
And also free lifetime guest digital membership. So this guy, let me see his name on
lifetime.
Twitter. Is
you know, be so great. Is
Sean underscore is underscore the underscore man.
If Sean was just like, I'm not even that big of a fan. I got the shirt. If my brother's a fan. He gave me the shirt. I thought it looked cool. He's giving all his Legion of Skank stuff. He's like, thanks.
No, this guy's, listen to me, dude. Somebody who goes that fucking out of the way, I love that, dude. And somebody was giving me shit on Twitter. So people try to like argue with me about like marketing and promotion. Like, look, you can say whatever the fuck you want about me. One thing I know how to do pretty well is market myself and market the shows that I'm on.
Yeah.
Some dude was like, yeah, missed opportunity, man. He should have had, your shirt should just say Legion of Skanks on the front so people see the name. And I'm like, you have no idea about marketing. First of all, that icon itself, that face, mm-hmm. There's give me one podcast that has more of a recognizable logo or icon. Nobody. Nothing. I don't give a fuck. Shows that have 10 times the listenership don't have more of a recognizable fucking icon. Like, I'm telling you right now, I think of this thing constantly. I'm working on one right now for the past 3 months for Real Ass Podcast.
I'm working on a concept.
But I have been. I really have.
I know.
Because you need a fucking icon that somebody can just look at. And by the way, this isn't even just me saying this. I got to say, Keith... Tattoos by Keith.
Yeah,
Caramello. Yeah. He really brought this up to me. You know, he really pointed out, because I was working with him on a few things. He did the Bisping logo.
Yeah.
And he was like, the reason Legion of Skanks popped so much and the reason it's so marketable is because it has that branding and it has that icon. It's, you know, there's Nike. There's
think about it. Who's watching, like a casual fan could be watching wrestling and then there like, probably was some of the tweets. They go, oh, fuck, Legion of Skanks.
Exactly.
Just by seeing
They're not looking at the words. Nobody's ever seen somebody wearing a shirt and seen the words on it and be like, ooh, I want to go check that out now. A walking advertisement stinks. However, that branding and the fact the amount of fans that got excited, that started tweeting pictures, screen grabbing it, putting it on Instagram, hashtagging Legion of Skanks, the impressions hit probably hundreds of thousands in terms of people that actually saw it. and the buzz and people going like, oh shit, Legion of Skanks is at WrestleMania, you know, that is so much more worthwhile than maybe three people going, I wonder what Legion of Skanks is, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody would fucking care. So that guy's just absolutely wrong about that. But that guy who wore it to WrestleMania, good for fucking him, dude. Sean, hit me up. You guys, you know, you can email me or you can hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. We're going to take care of you, dude. I know that he tweeted out that he bought tickets to Skankfest this morning. So sell those off, dude, and we'll take care of, we'll get you a couple passes.
To who? His people in his office off. Where he's like trying to sell them. He's like, do you want to go to Skankfest? Like,
well, no, I think it should sell out.
No, it will sell out.
Yeah, it'll probably sell
especially
out.
Especially with the two names you can't announce.
Can't announce them. Not yet. Not yet. Excuse me.
So me and Zach are right. Wrestling's great, and you're an idiot.
I want to talk really quick. It was also my birthday.
What?
Yeah, it was my birthday this past Saturday, April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Happy belated.
Thank you very much. Shannon, did you get me anything for my birthday?
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
She did.
Please come. Please come back and paste these. Yeah. Please come on something lacy.
It's just a cake.
She comes back in with a gun.
Yeah.
It's just a splatter. And she kills herself.
Get your own damn coffee.
Tyson from Terminator 2.
Worth it. Worth it. If, hold on. Oh. So weird that I had to ask. Happy birthday to you.
It's branding.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, you got the metal version, Guns N' Roses. To you.
It's so hard not to just.
Thank you. Shannon, thank you. Whose idea was this? This is just your idea? Shannon, I was going to fire you today. You just bought yourself another week at least.
Yeah, we heard Deepu was available.
That hot free agent.
He's the talk of the town.
Shannon, what is this? Is this Realized Diet Friendly?
Yes, sugar-free cheesecake.
No, you made...
Cheesecake?
You made me a sugar-free cheesecake? Would you make a Splenda or Stevia?
Okay, here's the thing. Uh-oh. So I ordered from Amazon Stevia extract. I had to bring stuff to finish making it here today, and I left it home, so it's Splenda.
It's okay. Fuck it. Are you kidding me?
And the crust is almond flour.
You're a whore in the best way possible. Like, what a whore.
Boy.
She made me stevia cheesecake.
Yeah.
I mean, with Splenda, but that's okay.
She cares.
This cake will give you cancer, but that's okay.
Wait, so what? Aliens are coming
soon? You know, fucking abs. I would rather have cancer and have abs than be a fat fuck and live 8 years longer.
Well.
Quality of life. Tons of pussy. Feel good. You're not out of breath walking up the stairs. Good role model
you
to your
will
son.
Be once you get
yeah.
the cancer.
Yeah, they went to
how do you think,
riddles
how do you think cancer feels? Are you think it feels good?
You're just like, look at these abs.
Yeah. I don't, dude, people say B12 shots, but straight up, get some bone cancer. I feel like I'm constantly on a 5-hour energy.
Nobody celebrates birthdays anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I'm not a big birthday guy. My birthday is Skankfest.
June 24th?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, we're going to throw a fucking party. Maybe, because we're doing parties each night at Skankfest. Maybe we'll have one of the nights be Dan Soder birthday party.
A big head birthday party?
Dan Soder birthday bash.
A watermelon head birthday party?
Yeah.
Everyone puts watermelons on the back of their heads to replicate my head?
Yeah, that's the thing we give you. You can make up any rules for the...
I don't trust Legion of Skanks fans with watermelons.
Yeah, a lot of fucking. Yeah. There's a lot of fucking going on. A
lot
on.
Of inappropriate humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think that would be anybody.
Well, that's the thing. We would give you your own budget for the party, and you could have anything you want at the party.
I just want to hire a horse to walk around. just an inconvenience Skankfest. Just hire a mule. They're like, what?
Wait, can you put like a radio transmitter and you do the horse's voice the whole time?
Hey, hi. It's me. Hello, I'm Emmett, the mule. I'm Dan's favorite animal. I just ends up kicking people. Oh, dude, what the fuck? We got to spend our entire budget on legal fees.
Chris Gethard comes out. Hey, guys.
Chris, he can smell your fear.
Run, Chris, run.
We got to use our whole Skagfest fund on a defense budget. Your birthday mule kicked a kid.
We got a $25,000 fine from the Department of Health, and the Environmental Protection Agency shut us down.
We heard you just have mules.
The EPA came in.
Yeah.
A whole SWAT team, they shot Rebecca.
Also, there's a PETA protest outside.
Yeah. Just 3 weeks of bonfire episodes about Christine fucking the donkey. Yeah.
And Jay's like, and then I walk in, she's blowing the donkey, and she tells everyone.
We're going to have the donkey on next week.
Yeah. Christine, shut up. I'm trying to talk to the donkey.
I was going to see who was getting to it first. I was seeing who was going to get to it first. I saw Zach's eyes light up, and then Lewis took it out. That was great.
Christine, shut up. We're trying to do a show over here.
Three ways.
Yeah. Okay, Jay, you're the best.
Wow. I hope that clip gets isolated and dissected on Legion of Skanks. This might be Lewis turning heel. That's his barbershop window with Christine. Yeah.
Somewhere. You're so funny.
Somewhere there's an 8-year-old boy.
It sound like when Pinocchio turns into the donkey.
That's the best.
Oh, dude. Fuck, dude. So it's been settled. I will be getting a birthday mule.
Yes, you will.
And a Guatemalan to lead it around.
Oh, fuck me, dude. That's so funny. When's the last time you had like a party for yourself, Dan?
Dude, this is a real story. My mom, I was working Comedy Works the week before my birthday, like 2 years ago, and I was like, I'll have a birthday party at home in Denver with my friends that I grew up with. I haven't done this in a while. I told my mom, she's like, yeah, I'll have a barbecue at my townhouse. We'll have people over. It'll be great. Looking forward to it. My mom starts barbecuing some hamburgers, starts having some cocktails. My mom ends up just getting tossed and hijacking the party. Yeah. Where she's like, it's wide. And like she's inviting her friends over. I'm like, I don't know these people.
We're celebrating my pussy. It's wide open.
This son of a bitch blew this shit open in 83. First Reagan administration tore me open like a fucking old beanbag.
Feeny, what's the last time you had a birthday party?
I don't know. I mean, I just end up getting shit-faced with people that I know.
When's the last time you sent out a thing being like, hey, it's my birthday. Let's get together collectively as a group to celebrate me. Because that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. When people do that as adults, that's like chicks take it to another level. They do it for like 5 days. It's like, hey, it's my birthday week. And then the whole week, it's a whole celebration of them.
I've heard a girl try to put over birthday month and then you shut it down. But then they're like, but I'm serious. It really is. Like, I don't care if you don't care, but that's how I treat it. It's like, well, you're an unbearable
cunt. I'm 27. It's a new me.
Yeah. It's me. Living my best life. Yeah. Whole birthday month.
So when's the last time you did that, Feeny? Last year.
I think it was, honestly, whenever it falls on like a weekend, that's more, and it becomes more of a thing of like my friends that I don't see very often will like make I'll give them an excuse
to
fucking come out.
It's so weird because you're that guy. You're the guy that stays in contact with all of your friends that aren't comedians.
I do that to some degree.
I mean, all
it's very strange. Hard, very hard.
I'm
to
not
do.
Saying. I'm
I don't
not,
think
I'm
it's
not,
all of my. It's I'm, not all of my friends at all. That's what I'm saying. And I talk to them a couple. If I see them a couple times a year, that's
too much.
That's
for me.
Strange.
It's very hard to.
I'll
do
tell
that.
You what it is because it's,
I have a group though. I have a group of like seven.
Right.
Guys.
That's what I'm
a,
saying.
No. I have a few guys that they're like Dave Green, John Hickey, James Meekum, like the guys that were in Salty Black Flower. Basically, we have a bond that's thicker than blood. Okay, that's crazy. That we were in a band together.
It's like roots. You have roots together.
We created. We
like a flower.
When you create a piece of art together, it's like we're making love artistically, okay? Like me and Dan, we've been in the throes of passion because we've created together,
yeah, we've
okay?
sat, you've shadow boxed inches from my face as I
played with a giant sword around Dan's head.
Worst thing I ever did was be like, hey, have you ever seen my Conan Barbarian swords while we were writing? And then Lewis is like, this is awesome.
This might as well just been, hey, do you want to be done writing for the day? Yeah.
Or do you want to put fear of God into me while I'm writing and you're inches away swinging a blade near me?
Let me tell you something. You
just get in the script. Oh God!
I don't think
you get the
watch
best,
out,
Lewis.
You get the best out of somebody if you keep somebody on edge. Okay, you really put somebody on their heels.
You were just threatening him with a sword.
You get the best out of them because they're reactionary. They're in the moment.
Can I tell you what Lewis would do to me sometimes? Like when we were writing a script, he would push me to the brink where I would snap or whatever, and then he'd be like,
"Every day."
But he'd go like this. I mean, people say I'm a psycho, but I think you're the real psycho. He'd do that. Like he would do the Walter. He would do the Walter Serbcheck way calmer than you are, dude. I'm way calmer than you are. He would pull that from Big Lebowski back. I'm not the one yelling.
Name one time that I blew up in a meeting.
You didn't, but you got me to do it several times.
Every time, almost.
Yeah.
I'd say almost every time you would have
I would wait till Vecchione would shut his door then I'd
and then you'd blow up at one point. Dan is a hothead. People don't realize this. And by the way, Dan, you have to admit this. It wasn't me being unreasonable. It would be me
just
saying
you
something.
Pushing it.
It would be me saying something like, oh, I don't know if I agree with that.
It was the same energy as when someone's trying to cover up a crime and someone pushes it and they go, you had to just keep on digging, didn't you? You just had to keep on pushing. It's that, like, I said I didn't know where she went. It's the end of every Law and Order. SVU. I don't know, Lewis. I told you the body. She went running. I didn't know her wallet was here. Shit. She deserved it. She was an uppity bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you pesky kids.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. He Scooby-Doo's me.
But that would be it. I will say though, I think I push you in a really good way.
Yeah,
you push
yeah.
me in a really good way.
And I'll tell you this.
And I'm kidding. I'm joking about like the sword like on edge, but in a weird way, I do kind of mean that, right? I really feel like if you have somebody like angry, right, you're getting a real version of them, right? That they're every defense mechanism and every wall that they put up is down, right? So you're getting fucking
But that doesn't mean I'm funny.
Or laughing, angry, laughing. There's all of these
also
things,
anger is a defense mechanism. So
yeah, but I feel I'm funny when I'm insecure or when I feel threatened or when I'm sad. I don't go around like I don't walk around Astoria naked and be like I'm gonna feel real insecure right now. Let me get some bits out of it. There's other ways to be creative where you're not pushed like that.
But sometimes you got to be pushed and pulled. I feel like, you know,
I don't like your gladiator style of fucking art. I don't like that you're like, you put a lion in the room if you want someone to write a song. If you're a music producer, you go, all right, Bieber, you got 30 minutes. That's a real life grizzly bear.
I need my Conan set. Somebody drop me off naked in Harlem with a sandwich sign that says, I hate N-words.
You fucking Die Hard with a Vengeance, too? Ah, Lewis, there's a new test for you.
That's really
write
weird.
A joke. What's that?
He said N-words.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new day.
I've never seen you edit yourself.
I've been good the last few months.
Someone trying to get on TV again.
Yeah, it was very F-wordy of you.
Oh, stop being such a M-word. A meanie. I don't like to attribute.
M-word.
Maggot. That sucked in WrestleMania. They kept changing the ring to be maggots and worms during the Bray Wyatt match, and it really fucked it up. Because with wrestling, there's certain rules. You just have the match.
But why?
They put maggots on the bottom of the ring. It really fucking pissed me off.
Yeah. Was it supposed to look like real maggots?
It was supposed to be like he was in a pool of maggots. Mm. Right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
Anyway. So what about you, Zach? When's the last time you celebrated your birthday?
The last time I've been in town, like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
But
man.
That's just
usually
like
go away.
You invite everybody to a bar.
Yeah, that's
right.
I mean, that's different
what
than
I'm
a party.
Saying.
That's way different. Inviting people to a bar, I think, is different than having an actual
and
party.
And no obligation, nothing that they have to pay for. Like,
yeah.
Like, girls will be like, we're all going to do karaoke. It's $50 each.
Yeah.
No. No obligation. You can come and say hello. You can stay all night.
That's a birthday party. Well, no, I don't think that's a party. I think a party is where there is an obligation. Yeah. I think that's just a hang. It's just like, hey, we're going to have a birthday hang. Why don't you come to this bar? I'll be here from then to them. I do that at comedy clubs. I'll be like, hey, I'll be at the Stand. Come and say what's up at the Stand.
Well, here's the thing.
Or this year I'll be at Skankfest.
With like comedians, and this is, I guess it's a weird thing because, you know, I'm really only friends with comics now. I have a few guys that I hang out with from high school, as we were saying before, right? But we kind of do that every day. Like, I'm out at a bar every single night hanging out with my friends, shooting the shit and laughing. So I don't need a special night to get together to do that, whether it's a birthday or even just a Friday night to go out and do that. That's not really built into my life. It's all kind of work, you know? And luckily, my social life is kind of built in to my work as well, you know? But it's the idea of getting together and going, celebrate me. There's something very strange about that, you know? I feel very uncomfortable. Like, we had the shows on Saturday night, and Big J kept on bringing me back on stage to, like, have people sing happy birthday, and they brought me a cake. And it does legitimately make me feel uncomfortable because I don't believe that being born is, you know, something to celebrate necessarily. So yeah. What I did, I posted this. I've done it for the past couple of years, and I mean this too, not even to be a dick, to have a serious moment. I posted on Facebook where you guys could just go do this yourself, because a lot of people offered to buy me a drink or they want to fucking, you know, take me out to eat, whatever. Don't spend any money on me. If you guys want to get me anything or if you guys want to do something really nice,
subscribe to Gash Digital.
Yeah.
Go to gashdigital.com.
14-day free trial.
No, go to St. Jude's. I posted the link to my Facebook, and it's just make a donation. Don't make it in my name or anything. Just make a donation to St. Jude's to end childhood cancer, because that's something that I, you know, I just care about. I care about little fucking kids, so.
Yeah, but see, that's...
And if your friend's raping, don't be a snitch about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it to yourself.
I have layers.
For old Louis J.
I have a lot of layers to me, guys.
You just throw up your skank hands if you see a rape. Back out of the room quietly.
Nod and skank hands. And then don't say a thing. Yeah. But that is, I think, what more people need to do is take, in the age of Instagram and Twitter and all this, like, you know, public appreciation of yourself, sometimes more people need to do shit like that. Like, hey, go donate to this, go donate to this cause, or fucking help some other people out. Well, as opposed to just getting your own dick stroke.
The thing is, like, I almost feel like we have, you know, we have fans and we have, you know, responsibility to a certain degree. To fucking, you know, I don't know if we can do positive things. You know, I say once in a blue, I try to do something positive. I'm not really a good dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like, I wouldn't be traditionally what you would consider a good person, right? But
100%.
I still feel like, you know, consciously creating some sort of positive energy in the world, we can do it. I do a joke in my act about, you know, it was kind of a concept that I really believe in. It was a movement called.
Dude, I remember when you did this.
20
acts of kindness in 20 days.
I sued the bit, but I changed it now. I didn't make it about that because it was too much at the time. When the kids died in Newtown, Connecticut, however many kids died,
yeah,
it was that many acts of kindness that you were supposed to commit.
Zero?
That was staged, just like the moon landing. Ask the parents.
The amount of towers that came down on 9/11. Yeah. Suck my dick. How about that? No, but like that was the amount of, it was 26 acts of kindness. The amount of acts of kindness you're supposed to commit, you're supposed to complete this. And the idea is you legitimately create some sort of positive energy in the world. You kind of, you know.
Or you fight with an Indian guy when you try to buy him a bagel.
Yes, yeah. That's true. That's the actual bit. But that, and that's also true, by the way.
Dude, I know it's true because I remember when you were doing it, we were still doing You Know What, Dude, a lot, and you were coming in fired up about multiple things. It wasn't just the Indian thing. I think there was a couple times where you were trying to be nice and you fucking went ape shit.
Yeah.
Because that it is. You are a good dude. I think you say you're not a good guy, but I think you are a good dude. You're just under crusts of shit.
Yeah.
So sometimes the good shoots out. And then, you know, someone's mean to you, and then the crust comes back over, and you're like, fuck you. And then you're like, God damn it.
Crusts of shit.
Yeah, you're crusts of shit.
Yeah. I'm just made up of layers of crusts of shit.
You're like a gooey caramel core covered with a candy shit shell.
Of nougat. But instead of nougat,
it's poop.
It's just shit.
It's just biograde. It's not, yeah.
But what is nougat? Way. What's nougat?
I think it's our new word for, you know, who.
When black people take a shit, they call it nougats.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Close.
Trying.
Yeah.
Shout some nougats out.
Candy made from sugar or honey, nuts, and egg white.
Thanks, Shannon.
There's nuts in that, huh?
Yeah.
You look like you'd have a nut allergy.
I don't.
You'd have to ask if everything's nuts in it.
Yeah. But, yeah, the celebration of oneself, it becomes a very weird thing. And because we also do it as comedians, it becomes another thing.
Yeah, we
right?
do it every night when we go on stage.
Every single day. We're constantly doing it.
Sure.
And we're even, you know, with social media and how much we're obsessed with likes, and regular people do it too. It's like we're just in a constant state of celebrating ourselves. We're taught from a very young age now, you're special, you're perfect, you can be anything that you want to be. The constant state of celebrating yourself. So then when I watch people do it for their birthday, I'm like, dude, this is all you fucking do.
Yeah.
All the time. Fuck off. You don't get another extra fucking shot of it, okay? Yeah. That's craziness. Especially, nobody should be celebrating themselves because everybody stinks.
Dude, the best piece of abuse my mom ever put on me was telling me I wasn't shit from the time I was born. Just like, whatever you do.
Not like Lewis. Not like that crust-covered fucking nougaty shit your friend Lewis.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I think you're right. I think everyone's told from the time they're born, like, you're just perfect the way you are.
Yeah.
Express yourself. Find your way. And, you know, but some of us that grow up without that, that grow up with, like, you know, a parent that's like, hey, you stink and you're not going to be good.
Yeah, that's not good either.
It's
been pretty terrible.
It's too much the other spectrum.
But, I, you know, trying to brighten it up a little. Yeah. At least I'm not like those pricks.
You're no
huh?
good. Constantly being told you're worthless. That's a
yeah. No, I mean, my son. I tell him he's perfect and amazing, and I tell him I love him every day. Like my son hears the words "I love you" like 10, 20 times a day from me. Like it's just a weird thing. It's like it's a habit of mine.
Now,
almost.
Do you worry about that being too many? Do you worry that it might?
No, I don't, because it's actually a part of the way I discipline him. I take away the love.
I love you. I'm going to take it away.
He says he loves him with like a sword right 2 inches from his neck.
You're on edge.
I love
That's how he learns how to tie his shoes.
And you go, now finger paint.
Luke, swoop,
finger paint me your masterpiece. He holds him out the window like sugar vanilla ice. And then he springs him back in. Now paint, James. Oh, paint.
But no, I don't think it's too much. I think that... you need to the love and the bond is there, which is great, right? But it's not James. You are the best at art. It's not James. You are the smartest kid, or you are the most athletic, or the, you know, he's not going to get a participation trophy just for participating. What I do is, you know, when he exceeds at something, he legitimately knows that he does that. He has a genuine, honest.
Do you have an honesty scale?
Yes.
You got me to be real honest right now.
This is garbage. Throw it in his face.
Shit. Come back with me with something I can use.
What kind of fucking dog is this?
Like Bill Murray and Scrooge.
Yeah.
His secretary, she put the picture up that her little kid drew, the kid that doesn't speak because he watched his father get murdered. Sorry, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So are you talking about you?
Yeah.
Wait, did you just turn Scrooge into the Louis J. Gomez story?
I was that little boy.
You remember Scrooge about the little Puerto Rican kid who was raised by a heroin addict mom?
Whose dad got stabbed.
Who against all odds became a stand-up comedian, then went into pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Against all odds.
What a story.
Yeah. Unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm. That could sell.
You got that picture of you. Shawn Michaels isn't in it.
What?
No, it's Louis and the belt.
I have a picture of me and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah?
I have pictures of me. I've met everybody in pro wrestling.
All right.
That's why I'm above it. I don't care anymore.
I hate that.
Undertaker's dead. No, he's not dead.
Dead, not dead. Who gives a shit, you know? By the way, when the Undertaker came back for 3 years, I thought my dad could come back. Yeah, not good on. To do to a kid. Not good to do to a kid.
Pet Sematary made me think that, so I buried my dad.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's just in a park somewhere.
I just want to be buried. Just his hand hanging out of the ground.
I found a hand. Oh, God.
Please come back, Dad.
Wake
Please
up. Come back. You got to wake up. You got to wake up.
Oh, shit.
With the comedians, though, with the celebrating their birthdays, I do see a lot of like female. I know some female comedians that have sent out like full invite. They like rent out facilities, you know what I mean? Like they'll like rent, and then but then all of a sudden all the comedy community shows up, whether it be because they have that many friends or just because like they're a dude, they're all the, you know, male comics that want to bang them, whatever the hell it is, but they get like massive turnout. They'll sell out like Union Hall or something
of
like
course.
That.
Of course, fucking obnoxious.
And you're like, how did you do it? And they're like, just tell the bouncer my name. And you're like, what? This is the whole thing. Every person in the venue is about you.
I mean, I don't know, man. There's just something
that's obnoxious.
Even like just like taking off of work, like just any night. Even
hold on, now hold your goddamn reins there for a second. You could still celebrate your birthday and do shit that isn't, you know.
You know what I did?
Backslapping.
You know what I did to celebrate my birthday?
What?
I got up at 9 in the morning, and I went and I got a foot rub by some Asians.
There you go.
Just treated myself to a little foot rub, because my feet every morning when I wake up are in horrific pain.
Probably go to a podiatrist. Yeah. Podiatrist.
Yeah, it's podiatrist.
Podiatrist. A child doctor. Yeah. What would he do?
Tell you that you're being a little bitch, baby boy. You need to start walking real bad. Walk.
Oh, you got a little pain in your tootsies, son?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want me to kiss your little piggies? Oh, fuck, breaks the pinky. Yeah, I can do the big one for balance next.
Now draw. Yeah,
draw your pain.
This little piggy went to the market. This little piggy got fucking broken because he talked too much shit.
Yeah, now get out of here. I'm a real ass doctor. Skank hands.
Yeah. I just had it.
So the world, if I just became the ruler, because I would inseminate every woman,
it would be Mad Max.
Yeah,
I can only imagine your joy when you're getting that foot rub, though, because I've seen you happy like a few times, like pure elation, like when you it was like that when you saw the steam room in a hotel and you just got really over the moon. I can only imagine you with a foot rub.
How was it? How was the foot rub?
Incredible.
Okay. They care. You carry a lot of emotion in your feet. He's just crying as they're like, there's all these apathetic Asian women like, no.
I sleep in a cot in the back. Yeah.
I drink water from the rain.
I'm so obnoxious, dude. I'm I'm on my phone the whole time, like just texting.
Elbows on their head.
And you go, can you watch the left side, Ming Ming? Thank you.
It feels so good though, because I don't even care about back rubs anymore. I know. I used to love
feet suck.
I loved a massage, but you know what the problem is with a massage?
What is it, bro?
They ignore the feet. They go to the feet and they just touch them for a second.
They'll
and then
punch them.
They go.
They do the punch.
Then they go.
It's really weird you say that because I've been waking up with my feet throbbing.
Listen to me, dude. It's like 30 seconds a minute. It's slavery. It's unreal.
30 seconds a minute. You're like yeah. going quick, buddy.
Is that a New York? Is that a new take on a New York minute?
30 seconds
is that
a minute.
Is that a real ass minute? Yeah. 30 seconds is a minute. It's a real ass minute.
You got to live your life like every minute is 30 seconds, Dad. Fast pace, hardcore.
When I open my eyes, it's a Mountain Dew commercial all times.
Oh, sir, how long would you like massage? How long do you think I got, bitch?
Yeah. I want you to go till your hands bleed. Stevie Ray Vaughan me. I want you calloused.
The first time that I got a massage at a place that I was trying to get a rub and tug. It was before I understood how to get a rub and tug. Yeah, because you have to know.
Dude, you trying to get a rub and tug without knowing? I would kill for that fucking hidden camera footage of you just trying to bark down a fucking hand job from a massage.
Sales 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
Persistence is key. Touch my dick. Touch my dick. Touch my neck. He's just arcing his hips.
Dude, it really is what, like, sales technique is just rape. It's like, just don't accept no for an answer. Turn every no into a yes.
I have turned around a penitentiary full of rapists into the most elite sales squad Merrill Lynch has ever had. Because you know what I did? I told them bonuses were their new pussy. They could hide in a bush, surprise them with a new deal. You're the Jordan. What's the dude from Wolf of Wall Street?
Jordan.
Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, Jordan Belfort.
Yeah.
Take this pussy with your words. They're at a fucking Grace Papaya.
Yeah. Now I just want to listen to the song.
My cousin thought it'd be funny before WrestleMania. He's like, let's watch a shitty movie. We ended up watching the new Point Break.
Yeah.
But before that, he was like, let's watch. He's like, have you ever watched Ghosts of Girlfriends Past? And I was like, that McConaughey movie? He's like, you just have to watch it because it's so bad. We got 15 minutes in and I was like, this is too bad for even me to make fun of. But it was just him being aggressively sexual. The entire movie was just like, I'm going to fuck you. It's just like in this like rapey kind of way.
Yeah, he's a closer. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like in a rapey way and I was like, would it be great if this was the prequel to Dallas Buyers Club? Mm. And this is how he got AIDS, was just philanthropy.
I am. Philanthropy. Dave bought me.
It's yeah. not the right word.
He was just
all.
Super benevolent and then he got AIDS anyway. It's like, ah, no, don't donate.
Dave bought me The Art of the Deal, the Donald Trump book, for my birthday.
Are you closing?
Let's go, dude.
Are you going to show us how much you read like a little kid? When they go, yeah. They go, I read this much.
Yeah. Where's your bookmark?
When I finish it, I get a pizza at Pizza Hut.
Yeah. He does the book report. If we made him do the book report, now he's just reading the back. The Art of the Deal. It's an art of a deal.
The Art of the Deal by Lewis, age 35.
How do kids even like, it's so funny, like today, how do you even fucking like learn, right? Because back in the day, let me explain to you. I mean, I get, yes, that's a stupid statement. What I'm saying is, I used to have to do summer reading, right?
Yeah.
And you used to get like, basically what it would do is it would give me, in my school, if you read the two or three books during the summer, and you came back to school and you wrote the report, did the assignments on them that they gave you, you started off the year in English class with like a certain amount of points that you could like, you had to like lose. So you could basically fuck off the first like semester. And still get like a passing grade. You do like almost nothing. And that's what I would do, right? Yeah, yeah. But I would never read the reports. I would never read the books, but I would put a lot of effort into faking that I read the books.
I would
probably
do similar things.
More effort than actually reading the books.
I know exactly what you're talking about because most book reports, I would do the same thing where I would read the first 15 pages, the last 15 pages, and then I would, but I would only be doing it for the book report.
My trick was always reading the ending and trying to write something on the end.
I would try to write something on the end, but then what I would do is I would try to find two scenes in the middle just to kind of prove like, and here's a B-side that you didn't think I knew about.
Cliff Notes, baby.
Yeah, but that's but this was before Cliff Notes. I'm talking
Cliff Notes were always
real
sold out.
Easy books that I should have been reading.
They were always sold out. This is before the internet, right? The Cliff Notes at Baxter's Pharmacy. I'd always try to find them, and the books that I always wanted to do were always sold out.
But when you did see the book that was there, it was so exciting.
But I got to be honest with you, Cliff Notes was a lot.
It was also
you
long.
Might as well, again,
yeah,
read the book.
It was a lot, dude. Cliff Notes was a fucking lot.
But here's they had character breakdowns.
If I wanted to, like a website right now, I'm sure there are for people to cheat. In fact, look this up, Shannon. See if there's websites
that you can
cheat. Like almost like
those are probably one of the first websites after porn.
The Cliff Notes of our time, right? I mean, basically, all you would have to do is do quick character descriptions. Then you'd have to do just like bullet points of each chapter, just quick little bullet points.
Right.
You would have everything there to be like, all right, just write it based off of that. Just the basic information.
But to that thing,
and I feel like it's just too easy now to do that. Like, why would anybody actually do any homework?
Well, now they have this thing where they can, like, scan your fucking assignment and then put it on the internet and see if it matches with any other sentences, and they can find out if you just plagiarized or not.
Yeah.
Because that shit was coming out. It's like the 12 years ago, the
Pied Piper of books.
Yeah.
You know, the.
Yeah, I remember, I remember in college that. Like the professor threatening, he was like, he's like, they were talking about the accuracy of that thing. Yeah. He was like, they can find if there's more than three words together in a row, like they'll clip it out. Which I was like, that also could be. There's going to be a lot of results.
But if that
if
that happens multiple times throughout your thing,
sure,
it's a probability thing. So they say if that happening for this is what they did with Melania's speech. They were like, the probability of her hitting those exact combinations of words were like 1 billion to 1. You know, so it's like no, somebody fucked with her. And either plagiarized on purpose or she was trolling and she's put, which is amazing. If that was a troll job, this is a Giannis Pappas theory about Amy Schumer, actually. So brilliant. It's not true. He was just fucking around when he said it. But Amy Schumer is just trolling. She's stealing material on purpose now. And she's just the greatest troll in the world.
If she did that, Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
Shit.
Well, she didn't give a fuck. She just says, full fucking bits now, and people are just like losing their minds.
I go,
like, I know what you're talking about.
She goes, she's like, I'm telling you, I get no respect.
Just taking pictures of bikinis. No, I'm a size 4. Click, and then sending it out.
Yeah, or just just doing.
She said she's a size 6 in one of the magazines, and like now the Attell thing came out. It's so funny.
Said she was going to get hooked up to a lie detector test on her put the results on the show.
Yeah.
Wait, when she was defending it, when I think she went
the
on,
first time she got accused
of polygraph.
Yeah,
she said you'd do your polygraph. All right.
Yeah,
and she was like, I'll air the live results on the show. I don't care.
God, could you imagine getting that big that you have to defend yourself like that?
Come on, she's not that big. It's like 10 maybe. Damn, Jesus
Christ. I meant popularity-wise, Lewis. I meant popularity-wise.
Morgan Murphy did that bit when all the Mencia shit came out. She put out a video online.
So funny.
Which it was her doing an entire Mencia bit, but she didn't change the word. She was like, so my friends were like, hey, Carlos.
Yeah.
Put Morgan Murphy, Carlos. Really?
So Giannis's theory is that she's just trolling everyone?
That she's just the ultimate troll.
God damn, that'd be a hell of a troll. What
incredible.
A hell of a troll job.
The Attell one from the recent is pretty.
That's
bad. Pretty.
She didn't steal it. Here's the thing. It's too easy of a thought. I'm doing a blackout joke now.
And I'm sorry, I'm a time traveler. And I already said it.
And yes, I stole it. Fucking whatever, dude. Deal with it.
Get some.
Deal with it, trolls. No. But I have to be careful to not tread onto that concept of time traveling. Because I talk about, in the bit, I talk about blacking out. And what's the first thought you have? It's like you lose time. I've talked about...
John Mulaney has a great one blacking out that he did on the first season of Live at Gotham where you watch and you're like, fuck, that's
a
good bit.
My question is like, how does nobody... how does nobody that knows her tell her before that airs?
That's
what I'm
point.
Saying.
Yeah. That, and here's the problem.
People
right?
open
she doesn't
for
have
anything.
Real friends. That's the problem.
Someone that's like,
too
hey, man.
Famous.
Yeah.
Because if you were doing somebody else's bit, Dan, and we've done it, everyone has done that to each other. I've come up to Dave or you. I mean, I don't know specifically, but I'm saying.
But people have done that all the time with premises.
You're doing
especially.
Something, you're going, dude, you know what? Somebody does that, dude.
And,
you
that's, gotta, and that's a bummer.
That's part of the process of writing because there's so many, every idea has been done, and then you either pivot, you change it enough to make it yours, or you say, ah, fuck it. I can't change it enough to make it my own thing, so fuck it.
And sometimes that's why it's important to watch comedy. I know some guys are like, I don't watch anybody else. And you're like, you should just because sometimes there's stuff that you're, saying that maybe is along the same lines as someone else, and then it's on you on how unique you want to be.
I understand about not watching. I don't really watch. I watch like 10-15 minutes of guys like headlining,
yeah,
a little bit.
But I mean, I watch a whole show.
But this is
special.
Why we have a responsibility to each other. And if you have a friend of yours that's doing a bit and somebody else's, don't think it's fucking weird. Tell them because they're going to get embarrassed at one point. They're going to get it on TV. Nobody's going
to
say anything.
And what's worse, them being embarrassed to you while it's brand new or putting it out on a special and someone's like,
yeah, and then you're
like, my big
crushed.
Fear is like someone's like, oh yeah, I had a face coming bit. And you're like, ah, fuck, why didn't anyone tell me that?
Right.
Because that's where it falls. You're right. It falls to the friends.
But
like,
I do wonder if maybe somebody did tell her and that she was just like, it's different enough.
I don't think so. She
doesn't strike me as that person.
Unless she's that ultimate troll. Here's the I don't know Amy that well.
The ultimate troll. She'll be at the next WrestleMania.
Yeah, the ultimate trollier.
She just comes like running down.
She won't be running. I keep on making fat Amy jokes. You're rubbing off on me, Zach. That's the problem. I don't think she's fat. I'd bang Amy Schumer.
Yeah,
I'd throw it down the side of her. Why not?
Okay, I would bang Amy Schumer just to be Eskimo Brothers with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And then one away from Sonny by comparison.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Did you watch the Sonny porn?
Did he fuck on it?
Yeah, she said, I watched an interview with Sonny where she said she fucked Dolph Ziggler.
Good for Dolph. He really does everything.
He's definitely got a body type he likes.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on, Zach. Come on. Too far. I was kidding. That was.
I didn't watch the Sunny porn.
I watched Sunny porn. It's terrible. Tough. She's like, it's like a mom. You're watching a mom get fucked on camera.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like watching like an old fighter come back. It's like watching Rampage.
King Mo?
Yeah, King Mo. Where you're like,
don't want it. 90s. She was so hot back then, dude. I mean, I used to beat my dick till it was fucking bloody with Sunny.
Oh, my God. What kind of horrific masturbation techniques do you have?
I used to blade my dick first before I started beating
it. Yeah. Oh, you bang it off a ledge and then
you guys like my new fleshlight? It's a cheese grater.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm bleeding, which means I'm into it more. Yeah. Sunny was the best. Yeah. I mean, she was. I'm trying to.
I'm a big Sherry Martel guy.
I mean, you know who I was? Really? Kim Page.
Yeah, that
Kimberly
works.
Page.
Sherry Martel, I think, has the best 80s butt of all time.
Sherry Martel, I mean, I was a Miss Elizabeth to start it off because big boobs. I'm a big boob.
No,
guy.
I wasn't into any of those bitches. What? Luna Vachon.
Oh, of course.
That's my bitch.
Just fucking. I was hoping Kamala was a girl.
This fucking book, The Art of the Deal. You say what you want about Donald Trump, man. The guy's fucking brilliant. Listen, I'm just going to read the first paragraph and tell me this doesn't inspire you.
And this is as far
bit.
You got? In the book?
No, I've gotten into like six pages.
Oh, okay.
This is the first paragraph. I don't do it for the money. I've got enough. Much more than I'll ever need. I do it to do it. Deals are my art form. Other people paint beautifully on the canvas or write wonderful poetry. I like making deals, preferably big deals. That's how I get my kicks.
Healthcare plan. Down.
Yeah.
A little different when it comes to government. He's a great businessman. Yeah. No one's debating that. I made fucking billions of dollars.
Look, can I be honest with you? I don't think anybody in this room really knows the inner workings of whatever his health plan is.
No one knows anything of the inner workings of our government. I barely know there's three branches.
So this is the point. This is what I'm saying. We're kind of following a narrative that
we just
kind of...
Do you know one branch is split into two branches? And there's legislation's actually housed?
What the fuck do trees have to do with this?
Yeah. I'm wondering where this tree is. Is it in D.C.? Is it the one George Washington cut down? I have a lot of questions about the inner workings of American democracy.
Does that have anything to do with branch manager? There's a lot of different things.
But that's why I'm always so impressed with Dave Smith, who knows his shit and reads about it. And it's like talking to Dave Smith about politics is interesting. Or like even Tim Dillon, where he's like, power structures, it's all over here. But he reads about it and he knows about it. And I find that interesting to talk to someone, but I also find it, that's the perfect time to shut up and just listen.
Yeah.
And I think a lot, like we were talking about celebrating me, a lot of people don't shut up and listen.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the problem. And I think a lot of people, they make a statement like that. They go, it's like, oh, yeah, but fucking healthcare's gone. I'm going, I don't know, man. I don't really know enough about it.
I was just saying that to be a dick.
I know. But here's the thing. Like, it's the same thing with Obamacare. I don't know technically which one's better for me. I truly don't know.
I'll tell you this. I didn't like Obamacare because it was taking down my coverage and I was paying more money.
If you're thinking, if you're listening to this podcast right now, think about this right now. Do you have any, truly, think about this. Do you have any idea the difference between Obamacare and Trump care and what it means to you, your tax bracket, and how it's going to affect you financially and how it's going to affect your family? Think about that, right?
Well,
and then think, have I publicly made an patent opinion on this? Because I guarantee you have no clue, and I guarantee you have some opinion that just aligns with one side or the other.
That's the
and
problem.
That's on both sides, by the way.
But people are leading with their feelings and not what they know. And we're told, and that you were talking about like how kids are told they're special and shit. People are being told it's okay to lead with your feelings and then have facts later. And that's not how shit goes.
Well,
if you have feelings, you should be inspired to learn more facts about the thing that you want to fucking argue about.
The problem today is it becomes too easy to share ideas, right? It actually is really the problem. I feel like we should
share an idea with me.
We should.
That's a good idea.
We just mind came
All over each other's.
But it's too easy to share an idea, right? So. Back in the day, if I wanted to share an idea with my cousin, right, it was a whole process. I'd have to pick up the phone. They'd have to be home at that time. They wouldn't know who's calling. It would be a whole fucking thing, right? And it would be a one-on-one conversation, and I would get that idea across. And my cousin might go, dude, that's a fucking stupid idea. Don't tell anybody else about that, right?
Yeah.
Now you go, I have an idea. Click, 5,000 people. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it. What do you think of my idea? And then some of the people are going, dude, you're an idiot. And some of them can even convince you, right? Some of them, sometimes you post something on Facebook and they go, you're an idiot. This is why. And you go, shit, I am an idiot. But then most people go, well, now I have to save face and I have to defend my
dude,
idea.
Dude, okay.
And they put this religious fucking feeling behind this idea. They don't even really
believe
it.
They double down.
So that,
yes.
They double down.
That's America. That's America. It right there.
And you know what's interesting about that is recently there was all that stuff about those girls missing in D.C. and the no one's reporting
it. We talked
about
it on Skanks, yeah.
And I saw a bunch of it and I posted a thing that one of my friends posted about, like, these are the names, these are the ages, these are the ones that are missing. And then, like a good friend,
someone texted me and was like, hey, man, here's
State Farm is there?
Yeah. It was State Farm, as always. But they texted me an article of like, hey, man, here's what's – this is from D.C., from the NBC affiliate. This is actually what's happening to those girls. They're runaways and they're leaving. And so then what happened was I put up another post not being like doubling down but being like, hey, I fucked up. Here's actually the real article you should read. I'm an idiot.
It was just the video for Bon Jovi Runaway.
Yeah. Yeah, I go, here's what happens with runaways. Runaway. It's all sexy. Don't worry. Yeah. All these girls are living shoulder sexy movements. Dreams. Yeah.
I also like I like Runaway Train more.
Runaway train never going back. Runaway. It's just,
they needed to fucking put out a video like that. But there was no internet. That was the thing. Who is this? I don't know who it is.
Is it one of the Runaways?
Hold on, let me see. Hello, it's Lewis.
We just take calls
this
on the show.
This is crazy.
Sometimes.
Dude, I mean, if you could you hear it real quick? It was like a business tone.
Oh, right. Yes, yes. I'm so sorry. I'm actually, I know I said in that email that I could speak literally anytime, but I just can't. Can I call you back in 15 minutes on this number? Yeah, just shoot me. Yeah, shoot me a text with that number if you could, and I'll get back to you literally in 15 minutes.
Literally.
Thank you.
Literally anytime. Literally. Anytime.
I hope he's keeping time.
Well, that was I read the Donald Trump book, and he's like, I get up every morning at 6 a.m. I go to bed around midnight. My phone's always on. I make 500 phone calls a day. I'm like, I love this guy. So then I'm like, dude, literally call me anytime, except for the next hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because I have my podcast.
So, I don't know. People like calling me anytime. I'm not cool with that. I think we're too reachable.
Yeah.
I agree too, but to be honest with you, like,
people calling me really bugs me out.
I'm the worst.
Actually, family
texting.
Calling me freaks me out because I always assume somebody died.
Yeah, family calling's a bad thing.
Your grandma heart calls stops me, a little bit.
Or if my mom calls me, I'm like, oh, fuck.
I actually enjoy going back to the phone. Like, if I can talk to somebody on the phone, I kind of am starting to enjoy that more again.
I'm setting up phone calls now.
Yeah, because
I'm like, hey, can I talk to you on Tuesday? And
right.
We'll fucking
you know
talk.
What it is, though? Like, text conversations, they never end. Like, no conversations ever end anymore. It used to be like, hello, goodbye, and now it's like we just keep this thing going on and on. And just, you know.
Sex are great.
I can't.
Sex are a great part.
I don't like any of this shit, okay? I pick up the fucking phone, okay? Because we're adults.
So what I just
okay,
said.
I don't need to.
Start talking like Donald Trump because you're reading his book.
Yeah. I don't.
I pick up the phone, okay?
It's what I do.
I pick up the phone.
It's a great phone.
It is tremendous. The conversations that I'm having with my friends.
I am.
It is, but the relationships that I'm building,
my art,
are tremendous.
Yeah.
Gas Digital is going to be a super place within a year.
I'm gonna punch Dave Smith for buying you this book.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But you know. Here's the deal. I pick up the phone, and this is before I read this book. I'm the guy. It's two reasons. Number one, I can get so many words out in the amount of time. I mean, just so many words with just speaking to you, right? Just boom, done. Too much time to fucking text, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm always kind of in a bad mood. There's always something going on where I'm a little bit angry. So what happens
is... You're like the Hulk.
I have fat thumbs, okay? So what happens is I text, and I'm angrily texting, and then I make a typo, and that makes me more angry. Another typo, more angry. That I've probably altered relationships within the process of texting. It starts off friendly, and by the time the end of it, I'm like, fuck your mother, dude. Never speak to me again. I don't want to talk. I can't do it. So I don't text. Somebody texts me, you'll get a phone call from me pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Unless I don't like you. Unless I don't like you.
Then you just get nothing.
Then it's nothing. Then you're out of my life.
Then you're just iced out.
The thing is, on the phone with you is never just the conversation with you.
No.
It's always a third party.
You're basically a parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah, and then like you're either yelling at a cab driver or being like, yes, James, that is a dog.
Dude, listening to him talk to James when he's like mid-conversation with you is always great because the tone just goes like, hi, baby, baba, I love you so much. Dude, we're going to fucking crush this script. And we just got to keep going. Oh, does baby have a baba, baba?
Da, 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 baba, baba, baba. He's four, Dan.
Hey, man, it's not by the way you talk to him, bro. I'm just saying you talk to him like a real ass dude.
All right. Let's fucking, excuse me. I want to talk about this before we get out of here because we have to do questions in a few minutes. I know, Dan, you're in a hurry.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I apologize. Dan might have to leave a few minutes early, guys, because Dan doesn't really want to entertain you guys.
No,
show,
it's not that
okay.
Lewis does that. It's that Lewis fucking doesn't tell you how long these things are going.
Ever.
And then he walks in and fucking he's like, it's actually a 3-hour extravaganza. Did you bring your sleeping bag and a permission slip from your parents?
Hour and a half. Now, usually what I do when I go on somebody's podcast, you want to know what I do?
What, you look it up?
You block out time?
Yes.
You're a dork.
I look it up.
You're a dork.
Because I need to know the platform that I'm going on to, and I need to know which version of Lewis is going to show up.
Nah, man, guns blazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to know which hat to put on?
Yeah. Oh, this is a professional business podcast.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, real quick, a former enemy of mine died.
I mean, you can't just say, let's quickly move along. You're going to make me late, you motherfucker. I'm not going to leave early when you're talking about an enemy. God damn it.
So here's the deal. This guy was a true enemy. I won't say his name.
How long of an enemy? Going how far back?
Yeah. I'll tell you who he was and why he's an enemy.
I mean, he's dead.
So this goes back to when I was selling Comedy Club tickets. This is a long time ago. This guy worked for me. I hired him, and he was one of the crappier guys that worked for me. Like, you know, it went from people that sold Comedy Club tickets for me, they ranged from like Harvard and Yale graduates down to straight up homeless heroin addicts. And they would work side by side. It was a very strange thing because it was a very quick way to make money. You could go make a couple hundred dollars in a day. That's just kind of the best way to describe selling Comedy Club tickets. If you're good, most people, 90% of people would make nothing.
Yeah.
But you don't know who's going to be good. There could be a heroin addict that's just fucking unreal. Dude, his need for heroin just drives him to be a monster closer. And then there's another guy who's really smart and very intelligent, maybe isn't even that personable, but just kind of understands sales process, understands point A to point B to point C, and can still close and make the sale. So it's a very, you know, wide net of, you know, it's sales or comedy even. It's a very wide net of people that kind of get involved. So this guy was one of the crackheady people, and he wasn't very good. And when Wayne Rader got hired at Stand Up New York, me and Wayne butted heads immediately.
Yeah.
Like, me and Wayne fucking did not like each other at all. Wayne listens to this podcast. Now, me and Wayne are like fucking brothers now, right? We're like really close. But that's because Wayne doesn't work in the comedy industry anymore.
Yeah.
If Wayne had any power, I'd be, I mean, I you know, at this point, I've gone too far in my career that I would let Wayne Rader have power over me. I would just punch him in his face and fucking walk over his dead body.
Okay. I like that your fists kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's call me One Punch Gomez.
Get in my way, I'll lay you down with a silver fist.
I have the same punching power as Ryu from Street Fighter.
Dude, fuck yeah. Yeah. I'm all about it.
So, but me and Wayne butted heads, and immediately we got into these arguments, and he fired me, basically, which you couldn't really fire me. I ran a street team that worked with this company, but he did. He fucking got rid of me, basically. And then he called up a few of my guys that were working me on the street, and were like, yeah, come work for me. You guys can take over this company. This guy...
You got a scab.
The crackheady guy is the guy that came over and basically took over my job at Stand Up New York behind my back with Wayne Rader.
Okay. Wait,
that drug addict wasn't loyal? That happened.
So,
what a piece of shit.
But this guy went
on. I like that you're describing how I got my job at CB's, by the way.
Yeah, basically, really funny. But this, but truthfully speaking, this, you know, this guy, whatever. Look, I get it. He has his own life and, you know, the opportunity came up. He ended up becoming the manager of Stand Up New York. He ended up becoming the booker of Stand Up New York.
Oh, dude, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly who you're talking about.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, yeah. So he, he died.
Yeah.
He ended up having two kids after the fact. Yeah. I remember it was a weird moment. I remember when his wife was pregnant. I remember saying to Jay, I was like, dude, I hope the fucking kid comes out stillborn and kills his wife.
Jesus.
Wow. I remember saying that.
You really
And can. I remember, this was the moment that I was like, Jay's a better person than me. Because he was like, with a real look of concern, he was like, dude, come on, man, you don't mean that.
Yeah.
Like, please, just don't tell me my...
Get out of my way, Jay, I want to dunk. I'm going to slam dunk this. You want to see hatred? Watch me fly.
And a voice in the back went, yeah, Lewis, that's mean.
Jay's right. Jay's right.
You're gonna fuck up my afternoon.
That's so funny. So he, you know, and here's the thing, I kind of, you know, I do feel bad about saying that at the time because I really didn't believe it. Especially after you have a kid, you start to fucking, like, things like that is like crazy, you know, like that's, yeah. And I understand. And Jay had a kid at the time. And I think you don't really put things into perspective like that, what that really means to somebody. But I fucking hated this fucking guy. I really did. And, you know, so yeah, he died. And, you know,
When was the last time you spoke? Do you guys never made amends?
I think he hit me up to apologize. There's a few guys throughout the past few years that have hit me up to apologize. But once you're dead to me, like, you're really, I mean, dead to me. Like, when I say somebody's dead to
now he's dead. Everyone. It's just not just you.
It's not a, I kind of feel exclusive. Responsible.
I said, guilty for your hate.
You are dead to me.
And he goes, nah, son, nah, nah, nah,
wah. And then he took, on his 9,000th step, he dropped dead.
And they go, this looks like the work of a real ass priest.
A Papa Shango.
A real ass Papa Shango.
What is a Papa Shango?
I don't know.
Is that a thing that has to be like Yokozuna was grand champion in Japanese?
Yeah.
Is Papa Shango like.
Look at her!
Does it mean something?
look that shit up. But do
Papa Shango's African pizza place.
Do you just feel, do you just feel guilty for hating the dude?
I don't feel guilty for hating the guy. I looked at the pictures of his kid and his wife and be like, ah, that sucks.
It's tough to watch anybody fucking die. That sucks. Leave a family.
You know, you got little kids like losing their fucking pop, no matter what a fucking scumbag their dad was, yeah. No matter how much he deserved the death that was coming to him.
But I believe with the death of a parent, sometimes that can turn a shitty kid great.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest,
become Batman.
You, never mind. I take it all back. Good.
Yeah. I think Bruce Wayne would have been an insufferable prick if the Waynes would have stayed alive.
Yeah, yeah. Just
he'd be like, do you know who my father is? I'm Bruce Wayne.
Martial arts. I'm not an animal.
Oh, gross. I want to go skiing. You know?
My daddy stopped a mugger with a gun.
What does your daddy do? My daddy. Yeah. And then he hired him. But instead he got killed. And that motherfucker became Batman.
Yeah, dude. Imagine, dude. Butterfly effect. Just, you know, one little thing.
I love this clown causing chaos throughout the city.
He's fun. I'm going to give him money. Is there a GoFundMe? Can I fund the Joker?
Oh, shit.
Now let's go drink at that fat little penguin man's establishment.
Yeah, everyone would have been happy.
Yeah.
God, if the Waynes just would have pulled it out.
Yeah.
No Batman, everyone's cool. But instead, greatest comic book hero.
Yeah, yeah. Worth it. Worth it.
Do you feel less, like, stress and anxiety now that, like, you don't have to worry about ever running into him ever again?
No, it wasn't like that. I mean, no, I don't.
That's a good point. Because fucking hate running into people. Because
if someone's dead to you or you really hate them and you're like, you just happen to show up at the same place, there's that instant moment of like, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
No, he's just dead to me.
Well,
you
got to
stop saying that. You have to understand.
That phrase does not apply anymore. Yeah.
It applies especially here. What are you talking about?
You're extra dead to me.
Yeah.
It's you're dead plus one.
It is the most accurate it's ever been, as I've said it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's
dead
to all of us, too. He's dead to Zach right now. Yeah. He's dead to Shannon.
Thank you for getting my back, guys. Real-ass fucking dudes in this room. Yeah. Everyone's
Shannon's
on my side.
He's not dead to me, though.
What?
Still very much alive. I'm going to call him later. Let's hope he picks up.
What if he does?
Fuck. I would cry. I think I would shut it, and I go, I'm sorry for whatever I did. Please let this stop.
Yeah. Look, I don't actually wish death upon anybody. And, you know, I feel bad for his kids. That's really what I feel bad for.
But I think that's just common empathy. I mean, that's just like basic empathy.
It just means you're not a complete sociopath.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're completely like, you can dislike a guy, someone dies, and you can feel bad for his family.
Nobody wants to have enemies.
Like, I think about my mom's ex-boyfriend when he dies, and he's also my godfather, and I'm like, I don't really know.
Your mom's ex-boyfriend is your godfather?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your mom is rancid.
No, she's not. She just has, you know,
a need
taste.
For dick.
She just has a particular need for dick. That came out wrong. That came out so wrong. Yeah, I don't know.
She started after your dad died?
It was during, while he was dying.
Oh.
Well, he moved in before my dad
got
sick.
Do you think it pushed him over the edge?
No, my dad was just...
He moved in while your dad was sick?
Before my dad was sick.
You think that's what got your dad sick?
No, I think my dad drinking a fucking 175 of Bacardi every day.
Do you think he might have doubled down on the alcohol once... Your mom's...
No, I probably had a laugh about it. Like,
which Trish Trash was up to her tricks?
Yeah, Trish Trash. Gotcha! Trish Claus. It was like a weird thing, though. Like, it was like a bad substitute. We were like, this isn't cool. I don't like this guy living here.
Yeah. Like, every time he turns around, you throw a piece of paper at his head.
Who did that? Dude, one time he was driving me and my friend, and he was, like, balding. He had the cul-de-sac, and we just touched his bald head while he was driving, and he fucking flipped out one time. And I remember laughing and looking at my mom and her like cracking, like knowing not to laugh, but wanting to laugh. And I was like, all right, she's on my team. I thought she went over the dark side.
Did he ever hit you?
No, because I think my mom would have fucking booted him for that. But he used to just straight up talk shit to my face.
Your mom wasn't booting him. She loved that dick.
No, she booted him.
She was fucking hypnotized.
She was hypnotized.
Mom was booting something else.
Ah, fuck, I love Zach.
All right, let's get some questions. Come on.
Give me a fucking answer.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
You know what's up? End of the show. We always answer the best questions we can get to. Just go to facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy. Post your questions the morning of the show around 9 a.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. I always will post something to Facebook. So please, if you guys want to know anything, it really is just an Ask Me Anything every week here on the Real Ass Podcast. Open book. Open book here on the Real Ass Podcast. 9 a.m., my first call is to Alan Ace Greenberg on the trading floor of Bear Stearns.
Dude, I swear to God.
A Jew.
And we all know how firm their grip is on dollars, so I had to call him back.
Here we go. Let's go. Let's go with Jeremiah Hubbard wants to know, which one of your senses, touch, taste, hear, see, or speak, which Jeremiah, let's not be ignorant. We know that we have many more senses than that. You know, the sense of, what are the other senses, right?
Fashion.
Wonderment.
Humor.
No, fuck faces. There's like, they say there's more than five senses. There's like more now.
The sixth, dead people.
No, no. You talk to dead people.
Yeah, your enemy's standing right here. Why do you think it got cold in here quickly? It's not because she hadn't opened the vent. It's because you got an enemy over your shoulder.
Did you stand up New York tickets floating?
Guys, ooh, do you want to see Jerry Seinfeld?
Jane Cook will be at Stand Up New York.
Jesus. If you could lose one of your... What are the other senses, Shannon?
It's five, isn't there?
No, there's more now.
Okay, aside from the five, there's pressure.
Pressure? Itch. Wait, like sexual?
Itch.
Tension, I think.
Thermoception.
Hold on. Itch is a feeling.
This is what it has in this article.
Go ahead.
Thermoception, so the ability to sense heat and cold.
That's under feel. These are all under the umbrella of feel. Feelings. Go ahead, go.
Okay. Proprioception.
Well, what's proprioception?
The sense gives
herpes medication.
The sense gives
preparation, H-ception.
It gives you the ability to tell where your body parts are relative to other body parts.
That one I do believe in. So, for example, like I know that like if I close my eyes, I know how far apart my hands are. That's not feeling anything. That's knowing where your body parts are. That to me,
knowledge, son.
That's a sense right there. Knowing that your dick is there. Because they also say like phantom limb syndrome, yeah. Right? That's like a real thing.
Okay.
But like, what is that? Are you? Is it a feeling? No, it's not really. I guess it could kind of be subcategorized under the umbrella of feeling. But you're not actually touching anything. I give that one. What else?
Tension sensors found in such places.
Touch.
As your
touch. Touch. It allows. Touch. Touch. Feel. Go.
But that feel, allows the brain feel, the feel, ability. Feel.
These are just the things we're thinking when we're looking at you, by the way.
Touch, feel, touch,
touch, touch, tits, dumb. Kidding, Shannon, you're brilliant.
Nociception.
Nociception. Did you hit the button on your car and go really fast? Yeah. Time to hit the nociception.
I live my feelings a quarter mile at a time. That light turns green. I'm feeling.
The only time I feel is when I'm behind the wheel of my Honda Civic.
I'm Vin Diesel. These are Vin
I'm
Diesel.
I'm driving 30 seconds a minute over here.
What are the other feelings, Shannon?
Equilibrioception.
I mean, that's a big one.
This sense allows you to keep your balance. Stretch receptors.
Feel.
Chemoreceptors.
Cancer. Cancer powers.
Does it triggers an area of the brain, I don't know, something with hormones and stuff. Mm. Thirst, hunger.
All right, forget it. Thirst and hunger, is that, yeah, I guess it's a sense, right?
Then I'd give
the
up.
The sense of hunger?
I don't know. Thirst? If you give up one sense?
The thirst and the hunger, they use both.
Smell.
Those. Okay, so that was the actual question, yeah. If you could give up one of your actual senses.
I already have a weak sense of smell, so I'd give up smell.
I would give up my,
See, but smelling changes your taste, too.
Whatever, bro.
Thermosensor is gone for me. Not feeling heat or cold anymore.
Oh, you get to pick one of the weird ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we get the superpowers.
I get to do that.
It's your birthday. It's my birthday. I get to pick one I want because it's my birthday.
Birthday
you
week.
You got to do one of the big five.
I did one of the big five, motherfucker. You smell. Don't smell. I'm a real ass dude.
Damn, that's not fair. Your nose is already flat. You can't smell.
Shut up. That's the whole trick. I can't smell this whole time. You walked right into my trap. Who do you think asked that question? It was a work.
Dan,
that's a wrestling term.
Close your mouth and breathe in. His eyeballs start sucking.
Blood starts coming out of his ears.
Why did I give him smell? Why did I give him smell? Oh, God.
Oh, shit. All right, let's get it out. What would you give up, Bean Dog?
I guess it would. I mean, it's between smell and sound, though. Because I definitely wouldn't be sight. I want to be able to see it. Living in the city blind alone would be terrifying to me. But I feel like you can get away without sound, right?
Touch, taste, hear, see, or speak. And it would give you a 13-inch pekka.
It would.
That's what it says.
Wouldn't that be an inconvenient dick?
That's yeah. too
an
long.
Inconvenient dick by Al Gore.
What if I can?
My dick's too big. I can't fit it in a tipper.
We can give up her sense of feeling.
I have to give her just the tipper.
The Miko's there. Always
every
good
time,
to,
baby.
Always good to throw an
every
oop.
Every time, baby.
Like I feel like I just dish up. It's like that. Ah, yep. Like,
ah. Yeah. I think if you made her give up her sense of feeling, and then you have a 13-inch dick, that would be okay.
Because then she would die. She'd bleed out.
She wouldn't.
Like, oh, yeah, she would.
All right. Next question.
And why would you want her to take away the feeling? That's.
Jay Healy wants to know: is there any plan to move?
Wait, you didn't ask Zach. What he would give up?
Smell, so I can still watch movies.
There you go.
Okay. Jay Healy wants to know: is there plans to move Skankfest around to other locations in the future? Yeah, and we're working on something for next year. I think we're going to do a tour. I can't announce anything yet, but I think we have a pretty cool concept for how we can make this work with a tour and still keep the same vibe and what we're doing at the Creek and make it large scale. And to be honest with you, I mean, you know, I've been very inspired. I know I'm joking around about the Donald Trump book, and I also, you know, everyone, I always talk about Steve Jobs, and Dave got me his book as well, which is incredible. For my birthday, but I think you guys got to understand, like, I really do as, like, a philosophy, I really believe this. Whether I'm setting up a fucking comedy festival at the Creek in the Cave or I'm setting up a nationwide tour, right? All it is are just fucking words and phone calls and numbers, and it's the same shit. It's just a goal and a mean to an end. It is. If you want to get pussy, right? All it is just words. If you want to fuck a chick, right? You hit her up on Tinder. You just use a series of words in order to get her to come meet you and have a drink and whatever, and then use
it's
different words.
It's called language.
But hold on. It's not just words. It's not just language, though. It's everything. Yeah. It's a bunch of variables. It's everything. It's everything in life, right? They're all different variables that kind of work into the equation. So I'm just upping my fucking standard of where my head's at. I'm not thinking small potatoes anymore. You know what I'm saying? People, if put it in terms of sales, right? I used to sell comedy club tickets on the street, and I used to ask strangers for $20 on the street. It's the same exact process. It's meeting a person, engaging them, getting them to like you, informing them about your product, and then taking the money. The exact same process if I'm selling $1 million property. It's the exact same process. There's no difference. You're just kind of
selling yourself.
You're just changing the variables around in a certain way.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking very large scale, and I said that I want to do an 8-city tour next year, and then Big J said, oh, dude, well, that's kind of crazy, dude. That's pretty lofty of a goal. Why don't you start with 2? And there's really no difference. In reality, there's just not actually a difference in terms of my output.
So we're doing 64. Yeah. And we're going to do a Euro tour. 12 cities in Europe on 14 nights. No, but I agree with, I think that is what successful people do. And you're reading books by successful people. And I think you can, like, I'm a big fan of biographies for that reason, is you kind of see sometimes what their philosophies are, even if it's them not directly saying it. Like, you read Keith Richards' book, very long about life, but you understand that he just loves playing the fucking
Dan's just doing blow every night.
No, I'm booting, bro. Yeah, it's Richards. This ain't no fucking pop princess. I'm talking into the veins. But you understand his love of playing guitar, and you understand that you can love something and throw yourself into it and make it your work.
Yeah, it's very true, and you're right about that. And that's like, it's just you successful people just in any wake of life, in any
biographies
area of life,
are great, man.
This is why, like, even if you hate Donald Trump, go fucking double down on the biography. Go read it. I'm telling you right now, this thing,
jerk off to it, really feel it.
But I'm saying right now, you know, success in whatever capacity, you have to kind of respect it, and whatever you want to do, even if you have a fucking, you know, bullshit job that you don't really like that much, you can learn a lot from successful people. You know what I'm saying? And that's why in comedy we say, you know, kind of to bring it back around, earlier on we're talking about hanging out with comics. I only hang out with funny comics. I don't really hang out with people that are less funny than me.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's, you know, it's a hard thing. Or I shouldn't say that, because, you know, it's all subjective, right? But I'm really only hanging out with people that I have respect for their funny. I only, like, go out because...
But I don't think you could phrase a different saying than respect for funny. You could say you like hang out with people that make you laugh and that you have similar senses of humor then.
Nope. It's because it doesn't have to be a similar sense of humor.
What is your sense of humor bringing to this relationship?
No, but I respect people, like, almost like on another level. When I see somebody that's really funny and doing it right.
Yeah, it's like watching someone dunk.
Yeah, dude. I'm going like, fuck, how can I learn from this person? Like, this is incredible.
I need to pony up to them. I need to be their friend. Yeah. You just come off like a real shitty person.
No.
I need to gain from them. I need to suck their power, Highlander style.
But I really believe that, though. All right, let's do another question.
I got to go.
Last one. I know. We're going.
I've stayed fucking
20
minutes late.
We're going now. Last one. Dan Pizzini wants to know, Because I'm going to take this as an opportunity to promote Skankfest one more time anyway, so it's good. We'll end the show with this. Dan Pizzini wants to know, I'm coming to Skankfest, my first comedy festival. What can I expect? Anybody there last year want to give your perspective? Zach, give me your perspective. What can you expect for, if you were going to give a quick elevator pitch to somebody on what they could expect at Skankfest?
The best comedians in the world, at one of the best venues for it. And if somebody gives you a weed gummy and they say you can eat the whole thing, eat half of it and
say.
That's
see. Great advice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I almost died at Skankfest last year and Lewis had to hide me.
That's a very.
Are you serious? Zach is very difficult to hide.
Do you fucking know how much I was looking forward to that fucking sip of coffee?
You know, can we just share so that I can ash into my.
Oh, yeah. Is that where you're doing it?
were you at Skankfest last year?
I thought it was just a power move. Yeah, I straight up thought that was a power move. I was furious.
Chapter two.
Because well, yeah. He didn't explain what
my
it was.
My germs. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck are you
chapter
doing?
Chapter two is fucking
You're in there, Fiend Dog. What can they expect?
I mean, the unique shows, too, and just how much. You don't usually get that many headliners at one place. For that many shows around, you know what I mean? It's very rare that that happens, especially over the course of 2 days. So,
yeah,
it's You've a very fun it, place man. To get fucked up.
I was in Cleveland.
Yeah, so you're here this year. Yeah. Here's what you can expect, right? It's a comedy festival, but it's misleading. When you say the term comedy festival, forget everything you've ever heard about a comedy festival. We only use that term because we have sponsors, and it just sounds better than a comedy party. It's a fucking comedy party. For 2.5 days straight, you're getting fucked up with the best comedians in the world. You are not only watching them perform in just nonstop comedy shows and laughter all day long with really brilliant programming. We program it in a way where you're moving from one room to the other and you're just like, fuck, dude, it's nonstop. You're never bored. It doesn't feel stale because it's different types of shit. It's podcasts. It's stand-up. We have some sketch. We have some musical acts. A lot of different shit happening. There's a party on the back deck. You know, some people smoke a little bit of pot at Skankfest. People have been known to smoke a little bit of Herbaggio at Skankfest. But you are going to be hanging out and you're getting a sense of community and family and fucking just a nonstop party vibe for the entire time. That's the biggest fucking difference. And the other thing you guys got to understand is we pay every single comic down to the smallest level comic. Everybody is fucking paid. It's one of the kind of pillars of our philosophy here is that if you're running a fucking comedy festival and you're charging money for tickets and people are paying to come and see these shows, that everyone that's performing on these shows should fucking get paid. And it's crazy that the majority of quote-unquote comedy festivals don't actually do that, okay? And then, you know, beyond that, dude, like literally, I'm telling you right now, for the price, if you break it down, it is $90 for a VIP pass. Look at the list. We released 50 names today. It's going to be over 80 names. Try to get that much value out of any other fucking type of comedy show or comedy experience, and it's absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. So it's completely unique. And also, I'll say this much, it's going to grow to a fucking other level next year. We're not going to be doing it in a small place with 350 people. This thing is going to be huge next year. So this is the last
Garden.
Opportunity.
Madison Square Garden. Yeah. He said he dreams big because he started reading Art of the Deal, and that's what he thinks. He's going to start calling the Garden tomorrow. Right. What are you guys doing next summer? You want Skankfest?
Look,
we have the Rangers. So,
thank you, guys. Shannon, hit the music. Listen, thanks so much for listening. This was a fucking fun episode. Always a great time with you guys.
I love you.
Everyone who's been listening to the show and sharing it, listen, you guys are the shit. No joke, man. The show is growing so much. Every single week, we're getting more and more downloads. So please go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review, give us some feedback. Tell your friends about the Real Ass Podcast, man. We're doing this shit twice a week now. Another 3 hours of content every single week from your boys, Lewis and Zach. So we'll check you next week. Also, Real Ass Podcast shirt coming down next week. So get it now. Goodbye.
That's all, folks.